Good afternoon. How's everybody doing out there? Thank you very much for coming. It's a pleasure to be here with you today. I'd also like to thank the Community Health and Planning and Policy Development section for having this session, and I'd like to thank our moderator and my fellow presenters, because it's very nice to come to a session that I myself would choose out of the book. So it's great to get to be a part of this. We're going to talk a little bit about the money-driven strategies and impact. And before we get started, I wanted to let you know. There we go. I have no financial relationships to disclose. We're going to talk just a little bit about our kind of theory of change at Applied Survey Research that we've developed as we've worked with so many different community partners. Talk a little bit about the challenge and the opportunity of the first five work in California. Show you some of the data that we've developed, and then quickly go to lessons learned. So this is our continuous improvement cycle at the community level. We think this is really important when you're doing impact work to be able to have alignment not only at the community level, but with initiatives, programs, and of course, recipients and community residents. The first part of the cycle is participation in developing community assessment data about things that people care about. The other side of the cycle is to take action, to use that to set community goals, to use results-based accountability or other action-setting frameworks to make a difference, and then to continually track whether you're making the progress that you need and whether you need to make modifications on an ongoing basis. We also think that this kind of alignment and linkage in terms of thinking about impact and understanding how to communicate it is really, really important, especially in some of the high-stakes, high-intensity example that I'm going to show coming up. Further, we think the concept, as my buddy presented, in terms of a theory of change. Why do you do what you do? How does one thing lead to another? What is the data that you base it on in terms of what the need is? Who will your partners be? And a very easy way to talk about what you want to communicate. So that's kind of the framework for taking action and talking about impact. Now let's talk about the money. Okay, so how many of you have heard about Prop 10 in the state of California? 50 cents of every pack of cigarettes that is sold goes to support outcomes in terms of three areas for children 0 to 5 in the state. Established in 1998, it developed a brand new funding source specifically designed in the enabling legislation to achieve better outcomes in the world of health, strengthen families, to help develop and create school-ready children. The other last set of outcomes to be measured that are required to be measured and reported upon annually are the system changes in terms of partnerships working together. I mentioned that we use results-based accountability, Mark Friedman's work. How many of you have heard of that? Basically, the intention there is to make sure that you understand what level you're working at a community level, at a program level, and to try to make sure that you distinguish those two, that there's clarity, but there's linkage and alignment. He has a book that he wrote, and it's called Trying Hard Is Not Good Enough, and I think we all realize that that's important and that's the way to go. And his framework was actually included in the enabling legislation. Okay, so wonderful funding source, wonderful opportunity, brand new money to be distributed across the first five commissions. A lot of intensity and a lot of work in terms of understanding what a framework would look like in each one of the 58 counties in the state of California. Each group had to develop, following that cycle, a list of needs and participation with community to understand what were the highest things that the community thought it could benefit from in terms of outcomes for children 0 to 5. The reason why I say this is high intensity and high stakes is that this has been on the ballot in the state of California 3 times in the last 10 years, as recently as last May. Every time the voters of the state of California said, yes, we agree that it's the right way to support outcomes for young children in the state of California. It drives some of our electeds and the state kind of bureaucracy a little bit crazy, because that money is basically coming in to the state and going right out to the counties. So that's that kind of level of intensity we're talking about, and why it's so important to be able to talk about impact and to be able to, for counties to hold themselves accountable for what they're trying to achieve. So that's the kind of the opportunity and the challenge. The first time, so everything was very customized, county by county, each having individual theories of change. The 12 counties in the Bay Area, which represent millions of folks and millions of dollars being funneled to them through this First Five funding source, said, well, we understand that we've been working, we're doing similar things, we have similar goals that we're headed towards, but how do we know if we're really making a difference, and how can we talk to our partners, our constituencies, the state, and other potential sources of funds to leverage to actually talk about what we're doing. And then just to remind ourselves, these communities that you see are quite diverse. We have Napa and Sonoma, wine-making counties, the Silicon Valley, San Francisco, and then very rural communities as well. And the intention of First Five is to really work with low-income families that need support, and that what we find is that a lot of work and a lot of recipients are either undocumented or children and families of color. So imagine the challenge to try to strengthen and understand and collect information that represented tons of work, lots of time, and lots of inputs. Okay, but that doesn't tell the story in terms of what's being accomplished. So we set about to say, first of all, are there any overlaps in terms of what each one of these 12 counties are doing that we can talk about overall, moving from an individual recipient place, individual programs at county levels, county initiatives, county level, to the 12 counties, coming up to a regional perspective. So we were really excited that there were a lot of overlaps, and of course they were primarily in the world of health, and also in the world of making sure that families had access to health and established a medical home, and also that there were areas that there were no overlaps at all, that were quite specific to either the unique needs and opportunities of those communities. So this is an example of what we actually developed all of this data and developed two-page documents that we could communicate not only input but outcome as well. And that was part of our theory for our going into it, is we really wanted to make it beautiful and striking and tell a lot of information pretty quickly. And so these represent some of our findings, and these are actually some of the visuals that we used. We were able to document that 300,000 more California children attended preschool in 2005 than 2003. We also were able to show that we enrolled over 17,000 predominantly low-income families, and they established medical homes. 97% of the young children in the 12 Bay Area counties had a medical home in 2007. And again, remember that many of these are undocumented and wouldn't have been eligible for any other type of health care. 35,000 more children got checked for special needs. Children from low-income working families were less likely to end up in the emergency room. And we found that in one county, emergency medical visits by children with asthma dropped as a result of, and primarily because of, help from First Five. So that's the world and some of the changes that we were able to document in the world of health. I started talking to you about the theory of change in terms of why school readiness is important. I think we all have been hearing a lot in the last couple of days about the role of education and poverty in terms of health and well-being. Here's some of our findings in terms of the school readiness. Again, a lot of support in terms of making sure that children had access to increased amounts of high quality childcare. Lots of work going in terms of documenting the fact 300,000 more children were able to go to and receive preschool. Work and evidence in terms of the high quality and the training for those providers. We actually are able to document and show and talk about school readiness being enhanced. Further, we've been able to track children who more children that started kindergarten early that then stayed ready and stayed successful in school through the third and the fifth grade. These are the kinds of messages that First Five has been able to talk about regionally. And also, you will also see some of the other inputs that were developed in terms of distribution of books as well. So, lessons learned. I think the first thing to say is that you actually can work across several different systems, across several different miles, and represent input and document and talk about impact at a large regional level. We also found that the ability to produce some striking, visually easy to understand, targeted pieces were really important. It is the first of its kind, and now there's other regions in the state of California that are actually looking and thinking about amalgamating their responses, not only from the individual level, all the way up to a regional level. Arizona First Things First, has anybody heard of that initiative? Similar to the state of California, also in terms of being a unique funding source. Also having this high level of scrutiny. Up and down the state of California, the grand juries were constantly investigating the way that those customized counties developed their plans and the way that they spent the money and the way that they held themselves accountable for results. Similarly, the state of legislature in Arizona wanted to and had on its ballot just last week to sweep that money away. And again, the voters of the state of Arizona said, no, we really think it's important. So in times of scarcity, when you get new sources of money like this, it's really, really important to have the ability to talk about what you're accomplishing and to also talk about the places that you may not have been that successful and what else needs to change and continue to improve. I just wanted to remind you we really have seen that there's the three steps that we talked about at the very beginning in terms of moving from community level data, linking to initiatives and programs, and really talking about how much is enough and what does it take to achieve outcomes in communities is really the way to go. And of course, the participation and involvement of the families is so critical. But it's not enough to stop there. You really have to get the word out. Somebody said it in a session yesterday, how important the bully pulpit is, especially when you've creatively developed these brand new funding sources. They are the envy of other folks, and it's very important to be able to tell this story of accomplishment. I also wanted to just let you know that any of the data that you might be interested in, because there's reams of it, is also on our data on our website, and we love to share data. And thank you very much. And I also wanted to thank this data represents a lot of families and a lot of folks taking the time to fill out our surveys and give us information, especially in terms of evaluation. And we should never take that for granted, all the time and energy that folks give to us to tell us whether we're doing a good job or not. Thank you very much.